Better turn it off.
E B F N.
What? Oh.
Oh yeah, Buenos just put out chips. It's the Evidence-Based Fiction Network Radio. Two stories, juicy material. And the first one, well, I'm not going to tell you what they are, but they're from two different periods of time. And I'm the thing you'll notice, I'm reusing old tapes from the 60s and 70s and 80s. And that is going to allow you to experience a kind of time travel. Because as you as I record the new story, you'll journey with me back in time to the gaps between things that will be from the 60s or 70s. And the first story is from about the 70s. The second one is a lot longer ago than that. Maybe the 30s or 40s. Maybe the 30s, I think, knowing this guy. But you won't hear that for a while. But this first one happened when I was in high school. And you'll hear about it. And let yourself travel in time back to, well, they'll tell you in the story, whenever the time is. Okay.
So this is a story about Marty O. And I won't say his whole name because what happens to him is so So this happened in on November, it was 1977, November 9th, themselves. And the reason I can tell you the exact date is because I just made it up right now. But it was, but there will be a lot of, but it was 1977, that's for sure. And it was in the fall, I know it was in the fall. Because we were just back at school pretty recently.
So this happened in gym class, or after gym class, when you're supposed to go take a shower and go to your next class and be decent.
Stay. So what did I say, October 9th, or November 9th, I guess. And so he's in the, we're all in the locker room, and there used to be these deodorant, this way you could put on deodorant that had a, it was called a roll-on, and there was a ball at the end of a, in a tube there was a ball, and that would roll out some of the, some of the deodorant stuff onto your armpit. So this story can be called Armpit Ball. You'll still breathe in to get those roll-on deodorant. There was this ball. So one of them had the ball had popped out of the deodorant jar, and it was rolling around. People to get to on the floor of the locker room. So it had, you can imagine what, you know, pubic hair and foot sweat on it, and it had been all over the place. Maybe, probably some urine. It had been kicked all over the, all around the lot. People had just been kicking it back and forth. It's like the size of a, it's not as big as a ping pong ball, but it's a little smaller than a ping, like a big gumball maybe. They're about that size. Roll-on deodorant, they called it. I don't even know if blips. A lot of, I guess I don't even know if they still make it, but that's what it was called. Too dry. But Marty O. And he's standing there, getting dressed to go back to our classes. And someone says to Marty O, "Hey, Marty." And then he says, "What?" And they say, and then the person says, "Let me see if I can throw this armpit ball into your mouth." And November 9th, Marty O obviously says, "Okay."
One of the best places to...
Now, this is, as anyone who's heard this story or was there knows, this is the part of the story where everything goes into kind of a hyper-reality, slow-motion type of setting. And the person who asked him, invited Marty to see if he could get the ball, armpit ball, to land in his mouth. That person goes and picks it up off the floor. There's no cleaning of it, believe me. So it's still fully impubic and insweated and foot, there's urine and foot powder, just anything you could imagine. This at the end of the day, too. And so from many, many other people during the day kicking it around. But this guy goes and... This guy goes and picks it up. The guy who threatened, he didn't threaten him, because it was just an offer, right? Offer, acceptance, agreement. No, how does it go? Offer, no, agreement, I forget how that goes. But it was a business arrangement. Offer, in acceptance, agreement. And then you have a business deal. So that's what they had. Except I guess nothing. Marty wasn't getting anything out of that. But it was aside from that, it was a business. It was just an offer acceptance agreement, as far as I can tell. There weren't hundreds of people standing around. Although, when this story gets retold, it seems like there were more and more people standing around every time it's told. But there were probably five people standing around. Just kind of, this is starting to develop. And like I said, it's in some kind of a hyper-real time frame. Oh, I didn't tell you about the distance either. So the locker room's not huge, but like the crowd size, it expands every time the story is told. So the guy who made the initial business arrangements, he is probably, I'm trying to visualize it here with where I'm at to this fence, and he's probably 20 feet. 25 feet from where he's probably between 15 and 20 feet from where Marty is standing. But that's like the 15 to 20 feet. That was like the starting point. The whole locker room is probably, from the length of the locker room, it's probably, I would say, 200 to 300 feet from one end to the other. And they start out at about, this guy says, "Hey, see if I can land this in your mouth." Then Barty goes, "Okay." And then he goes, "Okay, stand back." Starting at about 15 or 20 feet. 15 or 20 feet. And then he says, "Okay, no, Marty, back up farther. Back up even farther. Back, like that." And now at the, and remember, it's in that hyper-real time frame and space frame, too. So now he's probably, I'm thinking, and I'm looking here out at this fence to compare it to that.
Okay, 35 feet
away from the guy holding the armpit ball. And he goes, okay, you ready? And then he did, I think, Marty, he didn't say anything. But he just, there's kind of a firing squad quality to it at this, as the story gets to this point. So he goes, you ready? And Marty, I don't think he said anything. He didn't say anything. He covered his eyes up and then opened his mouth real wide like it was a, and it always reminds me of the, like a pinball machine, and his mouth would be where the ball drains out between the flippers if you miss it. Ouch.
Okay, here's, or it's, no, his nose.
God damn it, this cup. So he's 35, 40 feet back. His hands are up, picture his hands up over his eyes. And his head kind of tilted back. Well, a lot like those clown games where you throw the beanbag into the clown's mouth. In fact, very, very similar to that. Even the look on the face, very much like a clown. Getting ready to receive a beanbag in his mouth. Now, anyone who knows this story or who was there knows that this was, this is the most slow motion part. So the guy with the armpit ball, he takes it and he does a, it's not like a pump fake, but he does like a little, he kind of goes up like this. He's holding it like, what would I say?
Look at this fucking thing!
He's holding it like, just between his thumb and forefinger. And then he does, not a pump fake, like a free throw. It's more like a free throw, but this is a long free throw.
God, look at these fucking things!
And then, the most slow motion part of the story starts up, and he throws that ball, and it is, let's just say, it's nothing but net. And it goes so deep. It goes so deeply down Marty's throat that he doesn't even cough it back out. He just gets this look on his face. And this was thrown 35, 40 feet, something like that. Perfect swish. Nothing but net. And Marty gets this look on his face. And then right away we think, oh, this was, And then Marty, he doesn't cough. He like, it's, and it sounded like a thung, like I've heard when bazookas are shot off, they make this thung sound, and it's not as much like a blast as it was like a thunk, a ka-thunk, ka-thunk, a thunk, thunk, kind of sound like that. Had like a little ring to it almost, and the armpit ball comes shooting back out again. It comes shooting back out again, and lands on the floor. Marty appears to be okay, except that he probably has all kinds of things in his throat now, deeply in his throat. Foot powder and stuff like that. That whole list. You can rewind the tape if you want to hear that list. I won't do it again. And that's it. November 8th, 1977. Armpit ball story. Started at about 15 feet. Armpit ball rolling around on the floor. Covered in bad stuff, Marty. They make the offer. The guy makes the offer. Hey, let me land this in your. See if I can throw this in your mouth.
Yeah.
Marty backs up about 30 feet, hundreds are gathered around to watch. 30-foot swish, perfect form, nothing but net. And Marty, hook, he thunks it out like that. And it comes out almost right away. It went in, boom, boom, in and out right away. So it wasn't like a choke, it wasn't even really a choking hazard. Just kind of in and out right away. And then everything's back to normal. But the story goes on for many, many, honestly at this point, many decades after it happened. And no one's seen Marty since then that I've known. The word is he got kind of religious. And so, and frankly, he got kind of religious. And then another rumor I've heard is he got kind of difficult to deal with, kind of because of the religious turn. And that's pretty much all anyone knows at this point. But, like I said, probably, let's see, 30, almost, no, 40, almost 40 years later. So, who knows? And that armpit ball.
This next one is a guy, you'll hear more about it when he starts in, but a guy I knew who was probably 96 or something like that, and he had a lot of different stories to tell, and he was a prank lover. He loved pranks, and you'll hear, I don't know why I'm telling you this now, because I'm about to tell you in the time travel version. But again, here we go. Let yourself travel in time back and forth from whenever this tape was first used to when I'm reusing it. And you'll experience, as close as you can, you'll experience time travel in the form of a well, clearly I don't really know what I'm talking about here, but I hope this story will clear it up, and you, by the end, I think you yourself will believe in time travel via cassette tape. Okay. Here we go. Fasten your time travel belts. Go.
This is an interesting story, I think. Maybe it's not at all. But it's about, I think it's about, the message is love. But, it's love of pranks. And pranks that are, kind of risky. Well, they're more than risky. They're harmful. They're dangerous pranks that this guy did. His name's Lawrence, and I talked to him a long time about it. But he loved pranks. That's the point of it. And he told me about two different pranks. I'll tell you about the first one. There was the, he was probably 18, and the sheriff, everyone hated the sheriff in the town he lived in, some small town or something. Not a super small town, but like a medium-sized town. I don't know how big it was. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, this sheriff had his own farm, and no one had indoor plumbing, but his farm was, everyone knew where it was, and So they got a good idea. And he didn't want to be called Larry. Lawrence. This guy Lawrence. Everybody called him Lawrence, even when he was a kid, which that seemed not the usual kind of thing. Anyway, Lawrence and these guys, they unhumped. They tipped it over. The sheriff's in his outhouse. It tipped over. He's tied up with rope. And they lifted it up, and they put it on the back of one of their pickup trucks. And they drove him, they drove him to this hill inside the outhouse that was a little ways out of town. And then they set him up in this outhouse, tied up in there, the sheriff. Tied up in his outhouse on the hill so that when sunrise came, everybody who drove by could see the sheriff tied up with rope in his own outhouse. And he's captured.
And then this part
wouldn't happen today, but I said, well, Lawrence, did they ever find out who did it? And Lawrence goes, oh, he knew darn well who did it. So that's what it, but nothing happened.
Anybody did it.
Guantanamo Bay, if you did that today.
He just always say how goddamn funny it was. That's what he said.
But the main thing, Lawrence, was how much he loved these pranks. He loved it. Loved them. And he told that one a whole bunch of times. Then the other one he told about was, seems like it was also on Halloween, but I don't think so. This one was another prank, and he loved it. He loved this one. Told about this one. They had, he was on a farm, and they had a load of dried manure, and they were supposed to go burn it. So, Lawrence got a good idea. He said, let's take the truckload of manure, let's burn it right outside the ventilating system intake for the grade school. And that's going to be a good idea. So, well, you could probably guess what happened next. They got there early in the morning, and they waited for all the kids to go to school. And then they set the dried chips of manure on fire in this big trailer, and they drove it up to where the ventilating system was. And this was in the winter. So, instead of getting in fresh air, it pulled in, you know what kind of air, burning manure. So, so these stories are about if you love something enough. I guess you don't set it free exactly, but if you love it enough, you can capture a sheriff and tie him up with rope, or you could even burn a big load of manure by the ventilating system of a grade school. But you gotta love it enough to do it. And he did. Alright. Lawrence Coyle. That was his name. Lawrence Coyle. And, Coyle, not Coil. Coyle. Last thing. He said the, the manure, the smoke was so bad, he said they had to evacuate the whole goddamn grade school. That's how he put it.
Sorry. Second. EBFN Radio is written and produced by Eric Belgum. www.ebfn.org.